Hello. Oh no, he's already yawned.
Cut it off.
I am gonna tell you. Here's the game that Nora and I played. When my kids were little kids, we used to play this game where when we would be working a puzzle, playing a board game, or I'd be cooking dinner or something, where we would play my Disney playlist on the iPad. And Disney has a heads up display, or the Spotify on the iPad has a display that shows the album artwork, and it shows like a sliver of the album artwork of the last song that played and a sliver of the album artwork of the next song to be played. So you could see that the next song's from Mulan, or the next song is from Beauty and the Beast. And so the kids would guess one of the songs. Like that, we would go around and everybody would make a guess, like, oh, I'll make a man out of you, or Reflections, or whatever, you know, whatever movie it was. So we loved that game. It was so fun. But you're going to kind of persecute me about this. But Nora, we're in the car, and we're on the way to Murfreesboro, because Nora did a college visit at MTSU. And Nora said, do you remember the Disney game? And I was like, yeah, of course.
I'm your dad. I remember every little moment like that.
Yeah. And she goes, let's play the Disney game, but with your Beatles playlist.
Ooh.
And I was like, yo. So she brings up the Beatles playlist on her phone in my car. She's on the aux, and she tells me, like, all right, the next song is from Rubber Soul, or the next song is from Sgt. Pepper's, or the next song is from Abbey Road, or the next song is from Meet the Beatles. And so then we would each hazard a guess. We did that and then sang our guts out for 3 hours.
Why would I persecute you for that?
Because you used to have this fake news that, like, I tested my kids on which Beatle was singing.
I had that about a lot of things for you musically. You would print out paper quizzes for your kids about music. Is this Mozart, Bach, or Beethoven? How do you know?
Well, I mean, that is pretty obvious.
Which is Mozart, Bach, and Beethoven.
I'm saying, right? I didn't make a quiz, but oh man, that Goldfinch is back. Look at that thing. Beautiful. That is glorious.
Unbelievable.
Look at it. Why do people not love birds?
I don't know, man. People are crazy.
Oh my. Look at that thing, T. Don't you want to praise the Lord right now?
100%. Why do you think I care about birds so much?
Look at it.
It's low-hanging fruit. You need something to praise the Lord
for. He's got that black mask on his face. He is shining in his golden glorious
pink legs. Look at it.
And then look at the cardinal and the robin on the ground. What a day. Yeah. Yeah. What a day to praise the Lord.
It's amazing. People, if you're struggling out there to praise the Lord, just look at some birds every once in a while.
If you haven't given thanks to our Abba today, I don't know what you're doing.
Just take a second.
What are you doing?
Take 10 minutes and look outside. Out your window. Yeah, just
get a bird feeder. It's not bird that expensive.
No, it's awesome.
Stop. What'd you find, T?
Nothing.
Okay. But yeah, no. I mean, it's obvious what's Bach, Mozart, and Beethoven. That would be.
I can't imagine the eye roll Austin just gave for that statement right there. Either that, or he's sneaky. Like, well, duh.
He's like,
duh, Goldberg variations. Duh, duh.
Hey, can't be me not knowing the difference between Bach, Beethoven, and Mozart.
Can't
be us.
That's a fun road trip game to play though.
Yeah, like, it's good.
Mine. With my dad used to be, because I traveled everywhere to play baseball growing up. So you would get points for birds that would fly to your side of if I was in the passenger seat, if it flew from the left to the right, I'd get a point.
Wow.
If it flew from the right to the left, he would get a point. Or we would count like how many times you cross over a river. So like you cross the Caney Fork like 5 times going to Nashville. Or you cross like the Chattahoochee River going down to Atlanta. There's just some like crazy stuff like that. Just like little silly games.
But I don't understand. Like, I'm not good enough at birds to be able to like identify them in flight like that.
Well, we didn't identify them per se. It was just a like, oh, a flock of birds flew that way. There's 6 of them. I get 6 points. Oh. If you could successfully identify that it was a bird of prey, you would get extra points.
Like, wow.
Oh, that was a red-tailed hawk. I get 10 points for that one bird.
Dang. You and your dad had a lot of point games. Like there was like when you guys would play catch, it was like wherever, if I had not caught this ball, wherever the ball would have hit my body would be a different number of points.
Hit you in the face, you get 2 points. Chest, 1 point. Whichever way you die from this baseball. Cardiac arrest, 1 point. Brain aneurysm, 2 points.
Stop, Thomas. Aneurysm, 2 points. That's crazy. All right, favorite moment from Late Night. Wait, let me pause while you collect your thoughts. Late Night is an event that we do with high school kids. We are, Thomas and I are both volunteer Young Life leaders outside of being pastors. And we take 300 high school kids from five area or six area high schools. And we go around the city of Knoxville all night long from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. going to different places like a gymnastics place, an ice skating rink, indoor soccer field. A place that has like laser tag, bowling. And if that sounds fun, to you, you are under the age of 30, and congratulations.
I am 30 and nothing sounds better to me than Late Night.
Oh my gosh.
I love it.
You're so ridiculous.
It's unbelievable. It's so fun. I don't know if I could pick a favorite moment.
I'm still recovering.
I feel great.
Come on. Give us a fave moment.
Well, I completely, like, part of it as a Young Life leader is like you have 12 hours of contact work with
kids. Yeah, no, it's worth it. Like, I will go on record saying it's worth it.
Well, all that to say is I did not. The first place we went outside of our Young Life club was to this place called Cool Sports in Knoxville, which has an ice skating rink, an indoor soccer field, and basketball courts. Yeah. I didn't leave the basketball court for 2 hours. God. I just hooped. And it was, I mean, like.
Yeah, you were shooting the eye out, too. Like, you're
I was so not. I didn't. I'm too old.
I will say this. I'm so bad at basketball.
Dude, chill out, man.
We shot to see who was on teams, and I couldn't make it to the rim from a three-pointer.
I couldn't remember
how to shoot. My arms were like, oh, crap.
If you've never done it, it's really hard.
I didn't know what to do.
It's
confusing. And it was frustrating because I've been watching so much basketball in the last 2 months.
It's not a, like, basketball is not a, if you have zero history with it, it's not a just, I'm going to watch this and be good at it. It takes a lot of
practice. Man, it was really frustrating. As soon as somebody passed it to me, I was like, yeah, I'm going to hit this three. And then I was like, oh, gosh. And I looked up at Thomas, and I was like, oh, no, I don't know how to do this. And Thomas was like, it's okay.
There's a thing that happens if you've ever...
I did get 4 boards, though. And you helped me with that because you were like, hey, listen, just get boards.
Get rebounds, don't turn the ball over.
You weigh over 200 pounds. Just put that big body in there and go get some boards.
Anybody and just, like... If you want to be everybody's favorite teammate and pick up, is don't turn the ball over and get rebounds.
I did turn the ball over.
It's okay.
Several times.
It's okay. But there's a thing that happens if you've ever been a hooper. Over the age of 25, you inherit the ability to pass.
Okay.
You go from being like...
It's an inheritance?
There's a weird thing that happens. It's all of a sudden you become like... It's just this thing that like dads do. You become
Magic Johnson.
Yes. You can like... You can make ridiculous passes that make 16-year-olds jaw drop. They're just like, wait, how did you... You're like, I don't know. I just turned 20. I'm 30. I don't know. You just like... All of a sudden you learn how to like...
Like just no-look Magic Johnson. Like,
yes. You gain...
And I somebody think it, that's like cattywampus I think it's like a dad reflex on the side of you.
It's like a dad reflex thing. All of a sudden
that's
you...
That's crazy.
You have extra eyeballs or something. It's just funny. But, I can't shoot anymore, but... I could drop a dime.
So was that your favorite moment of Late Night?
My favorite moment of Late Night.
Oh my gosh!
Was also just there was a kid. I'm not going to name him because I don't think he listens, but I don't want to publicly. There was just a moment we were at the.
I can never unsee.
I can't unsee it either. But also, part of me is like, was that a dream? I don't know. who knows? We were at this indoor gymnastics place. Which the guy who owns it lines us up and gives us a 15-minute speech. It's unbelievable. Yeah, and great. He tried to roast me later, and I was like, bro, it's 2 a.m. Chill. Leave with the roast. Alone, I'm 30. Like, there's 250 people here. Why are you calling me out? I don't. Yeah. It's funny. Whatever. But it was perfect because Rob and I are both like pretty slapstick humor oriented. We like a good slapstick.
Thomas has a strong Schadenfreude instinct.
So does Rob. But there's a certain an age limit. If you're elderly, it makes my stomach churn. If somebody falls, I can't do it. If you send me a video you think is funny and it's an old person falling,
I'm not laughing.
I will unfollow you. I just don't. But when young people fall and they're healthy, it's funny. Rob and I were just sitting. I don't know what the context was, but we were sitting on a mat. And just this, one of our high school friends just walked by, was not paying attention to us, was going, walking very slowly. And there was a hole in the mat, and his foot slid perfectly into it. And you hear a shh, because he ripped the mat and fell so slowly right on his face. Just
so slowly.
Boom.
It was the slowest fall. It was like
slow motion. He didn't even try to catch himself. He just fell on his nose. And I haven't laughed that hard in a minute. That was good.
Oh man! Oh, thank you.
I never even. I don't know if I talked to him again the rest of the night because he probably was pissed at me. I laughed so hard. What was your favorite moment?
When I watched our friend Jermaine Blair perfect his backflip, and I filmed it in slow motion.
Mm.
And I've probably watched it 37 times since then.
He's what, 320?
He's 350 if he's an ounce. And he.
And he moves like a cat, though.
He is so mobile.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He's so agile and so mobile. But he was like, he was like, Lee, film it, film me. I got it this
he's
time.
He's so country too.
Exactly. And so he like Jermaine jumps, jump, jump, and then he busts it. He busts this backflip, lands perfectly. And he comes over and he was like, did you get it? And I was like, I got it. And he was like, let me see it. And so he watched it and he looked up and he goes, I'm him.
He just found me. He's like, bro, I can stick a backflip now.
He stuck it, bro.
Amazing.
He did. Okay. Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a podcast.
Watching Zach Herkey was pretty funny though.
Oh, watching Zach do anything is amazing.
It's unbelievable.
I will say, you leading driver's license with 300 high school kids in like a Baptist church gave me a lot of joy. I felt like you were exercising your demons.
Well, no, it would have been even better. I had Vampire on the list, but it got kicked off the list a couple days before. They were like, let's probably not do that one.
It was great, man. It was just like, I know we're not perfect, but, and there's that whole room just like getting in the groove. Bah, bah, it was so good.
Red lips, and then it goes to like kind of halftime type situation.
Yes, it was so much fun, and Cambrian up there with you, like he's just a fun dude.
Yeah,
Cambrian's just a fun guy.
He's loud. He's got a great voice.
All right, this is a Bible study podcast. Let's study the Bible. Do you have a scripture that you want to take us to? As you yawn yet again, guys. Thomas drank the giantest cup of coffee out of my Let It Be glass, like. I don't know how he's yawning right now.
I have to. I don't.
There was so much caffeine in that cup.
Well, we did just stay up all night. I mean, like,
oh my God.
I had a great time, but it takes a week of sleep recovery.
It does.
I will do it. I'll do it every year till I die. I love it. I love everything about it. And it feels easier every year to me. Like, it just, now that I have kids.
I love this stuff out of me. It's the opposite for me, dude.
We Lee got so frustrated, he changed languages. La puesta para mí. ¿Por qué?
Por miseria.
Cuando nosotros hablamos en español, todo es malo. The podcast has gone south.
No, dude. It's que bien, que bueno.
Hilarious. Okay. Mark 10.
Let's do this. Oh, I love the Gospel of Mark.
Me too, man.
Can't wait to hang out with that guy.
Peter or Mark?
Mark.
Oh, man.
Let's do this.
Little brother Mark. I'm just going to read one verse. Ready?
Ready. Go.
Mark 10:1. Jesus then left that place and went into the region of Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds of people came to him, and as was his custom, he taught them.
That's it.
That's it.
That's
so
what you got for us today.
Yeah, read this. I was just going through Mark, read the heading. I was like, divorce. Okay. This is the one. You know, okay, cool. This is really going to, this is going to help me in my life today. Sarcastically, like, whatever.
Right.
But I read that one verse and I was like, wait, I don't need to read anymore. This is cool. There's just a little bit at the end. It says, as was his custom, he taught them.
Yeah.
And it made me take a moment to appreciate Jesus, the teacher. You know, like the word disciple is just student. Like, his boys saw themselves as Jesus' students. They were constantly listening to him teach and wanting to learn from him. And I was taking a moment to think about, like, what set the best teachers apart in my life. In school, outside of school, the people who I look to in full submission for advice, whether that's on how to write a 5-paragraph essay,
or how to balance a chemistry equation.
Yeah, how to field a grounder,
how to tie a fly.
All those things. And it's not that they are necessarily the most compelling. Like, I had teachers at Oak Ridge who was like, man, it is tough to listen to you. You're not compelling. You don't have some big flamboyant, attractive way of portraying your message necessarily. But you really know the thing, and you're really convicted and convinced by it. And I think about the best coaches I had are the same way. It's just like, there's a lot of evidence that you exude, that you are an expert at this, and I want to learn that from you. So, you know, it's like, I was talking, I guess it was yesterday, about, you know, my sophomore English teacher at Oak Ridge High School was Alan Etheridge. You know, he's a former state champion cross country coach for a long time at Oak Ridge, and
yeah,
pretty much
he won a state championship when your wife was a state champion.
That's right.
As
yeah,
a runner.
I can't speak to him as a coach. I did not have him as a coach. As a teacher, he was hard.
Yeah,
like he was really hard. But I left his class feeling like, oh my gosh, I learned so much in this class. I had a professor in college who. I had to miss the first week of classes because I was off doing a work-related thing my senior year. And it's at the time where it's like, oh, these are the very end of my major, you know, classes. Like, I need these to graduate. And I had a professor who, like, I sent her an email day when I was like, hey, I'm in your class. I'm not going to be there. I have to do this thing for my job. I'm really sorry. But please don't kick me out of the class. She didn't respond. And then I walked to class the next day, and I was like, hey, and she was like, Did you send me an email? I was like, yeah. And she said, did you read the rubric and see exactly how I want an email crafted? And I was like, no. And she was like, you're lucky. I normally would not do this, but you can stay in the class. And then, like, I was Whoa. Like, oh, this is going to be a sucky semester. And she was like that the whole year. But I'll never forget it. It was a class called Interpersonal Conflict. And I walked out of there. I learned about John Gottman. I learned about all these things. I was like, this is so cool.
It's crazy.
I learned so much stuff from her. And she was like, and it's not that she was, I just named two people who were like a little bit intense, but it, you know, I had teachers who weren't intense who were great teachers. I think about, I'm naming all my liberal arts professors for whatever reason, but like my freshman English teacher at Oak Ridge High School.
Humanities till the cows come home, baby.
Bring it on, baby. Let's read, write, and learn
about
communication.
Let's read and synthesize.
Yes. But like, you know, like. My freshman English teacher at Oak Ridge, she was so kind and so sweet, but she taught me how to write an essay, and it was fantastic, and she was really good at it. And,
who was she?
Miss Shelton, Lily Shelton's mom.
Oh,
rad. She was the bomb. Yeah, that's rad. Love her. But I just wanted to appreciate Jesus the teacher, and he has a lot of names and a lot of things to look at him for. Prince of Peace, Lord of Lords, all the stuff, you know, Everlasting
Rose
Father,
of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley.
There's so many things.
Bright Morning Star.
I'm trying to lean into the teacher bit. Like, what do you have for me? What are you trying to tell me? And a lot of cool things happened under Jesus' tutelage. People at his feet, people listening to him give sermons. You just get so much. It's amazing.
I love how you taught. You were. You were teaching our high school kids in the past few weeks just about kind of his last hours, and you were talking about how when he gave the teaching that he gave in John 15 about like the plant that makes wine grapes, that he was like most likely underneath the full Passover moon and on the vineyards, on the slopes of the Kidron Valley.
Yeah.
And like that he would set something up like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think stuff like the cool teachers set stuff up well.
Yeah.
You know, They like make it happen where you like experience it in a cool way.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, when he talks about, you know, in Matthew 10 and Matthew 6, he uses birds, which I think is awesome. But one of my favorite things in Matthew 10 is he mentions sparrows. And yeah. I was actually looking it up today. Like, most likely it was a house sparrow. There's a couple other options in the Middle East. But that's probably the most common. And it's actually really common around here, but it's invasive. People don't like it.
Yeah.
But it's like kind of the drabbiest, dinkiest bird. You know, you're just like, but everybody knew what it was. But I loved thinking about that from the perspective of like, he knows about when the drabbiest, dinkiest bird dies. You know, it's just like, that's really cool. But also just the fact that he's like, you know, probably just standing and, you know, in Galilee, just like, hey, look, these birds are everywhere. They're, you know, like, let me use these as an example. He's such a cool teacher. Such a good one.
That's awesome.
Was it you that was, like, I was thinking about him setting things up for lessons and things like that. Was it you that told me about the Young Life connection to Fleetwood Mac? Was that you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where did you hear that from?
Oh, I probably just was Wikipedia and Lindsey Buckingham at one point. Or, you know, it would shock me.
Thomas Wikipedia's people out of just like...
dabbler of many, master of nothing. Just like, I don't know what that phrase is.
You're
like
a master of plenty.
I'm not. I am really good at dabbling.
Stop it. Things. Would you stop? No,
it may have even been... part of me thinks it was Eve Sarrett, but I could be wrong.
Okay, well, the story was... Right. Wait, okay, so there were two members of Fleetwood Mac that met.
It was Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham. Lindsey Buckingham was.
Well, playing. So where did they? When did they get like Mick Fleetwood? Like what? How?
Oh, dude, you could reading about Fleetwood Mac is that's probably the longest Wikipedia article of all time. It's so.
Are you serious?
Yeah, 100%.
When are they going to make the biopic?
Oh, it's so weird. Like there was one band called Fleetwood Mac. A couple other people joined, and they were like, "We're going to take the name." And then these guys fizzled out, but then someone came out of that and joined. Like it's wild.
You're okay, tell the story that the Lord said, the thing that you told me.
What was it
about them meeting at a Young Life club, dude?
No, I think what happened was Lindsey Buckingham was maybe like a senior at high school in California. Yeah. So like sometimes in Young Life, you bring older kids along to do things within club. So like,
yes, absolutely.
I think it was like. He was playing guitar at club, like leading club music, and Stevie Nicks was at club, and that's how they met.
Don't you wish you could see what that club song set was, that set list?
Yeah, I was trying to think. Like, it had to be the Beatles.
Or like the Mamas and the Papas or something.
Yeah, is that like...
Or like some Motown.
Did the Mamas and Papas do California Dreaming?
Can
I tell you something? I do not like that song. It creeps me out.
Dude, what if the Mamas and the Papas listen to this podcast?
Are they still alive?
Some of them are, I think.
No, it's the...
I think Michelle Phillips.
The granddaughters and the grandsons.
Yeah. Maybe they listen. No, I love that, T. I think that's really cool.
All the leaves are brown.
He hates that song.
I do. It's so cringy.
But I love how you targeted, as was his custom. Hmm. Because the thing that it makes me think about is like, it's his custom to teach. So I need to be aware of him being there to teach me. Yeah. That's really cool. Yoshi chill. Okay. Can I show us a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 1?
I suppose. As Jude would say, of course.
Of course.
Sure.
Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, or let's do 15 and 16. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for this very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Mm. Now, to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Just a quick thought on this is just like, this, like, there's a,
you've probably heard this before. I may have even talked about this before on the podcast, but like, there's an interesting thing that if you put the dates on when Paul wrote his letters, the way that he talks about himself, he starts out by saying like, I am the least of the apostles. And then like in a letter that he wrote later, he's like, I am like the least of all the saints. And then the last, like later and later and later, 1 Timothy is a later letter. 2 Timothy is the last one he wrote that we have. But in 1 Timothy, he says, I am the worst sinner that ever lived. Like the longer Paul lived, the more aware of like he kept going down. Like in his own estimation, he was like, he started out by saying, I'm the last of all the apostles. Then he's like, of all the believers in Jesus, I'm the last. And finally he says, I'm the worst sinner that ever lived. I'm the chief of all the sinners. In fact, I looked it up this morning in verse 16 when it says, but for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, the word sinner isn't in that verse. It's just, he's referring back to verse 15 when he said that to save sinners of whom I am the worst. The word worst is actually the word proto. It's the, it's like where we would get like prototype. Like I'm the model. Like if you want to talk about what sinners are, I'm the prototype
wow.
of all the sinners.
Yeah.
I'm the first one. Hmm. I'm in first place. Yeah. It's really interesting to me because I just had a situation, and you know all about this, T, because you and I have, you've been my processing board, which I love about you. But like, I have just been in a situation this past weekend where I was around people who like are really in love with themselves and they really want to be the best and they love how they are legends and they are the greatest and they just pump themselves up. And I love that the Apostle Paul, the longer he walked with Jesus, the more he got to the place of like, hey, if I'm in first place of anything, it's first place of needing Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm in first place.
Yeah.
I excel at needing Jesus mm-hmm. Christ.
It's really cool.
Yeah. It just like, it's like, man, I just want to have more and like, I want to reduce the hubris and increase the need.
Yeah.
I want to lean more into my need and weakness so that I can just rejoice and be thankful and
yeah.
about Jesus all the time.
Yeah. It's cool. It feels like Paul lived out that thing John the Baptist said just about how it's like, he's got to increase. I got to decrease. And if you look at it on a graph, he just is doing that.
It literally,
it's really cool. It's like the more he lived, the more he realized that, which I think is fascinating.
Yeah. It's like the longer he lived, the cross became bigger in his vision.
Yeah.
Just more and more and more. I need this more. I need this more. Yo, nobody's ever needed this more than I need this.
Yeah.
It's so sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just like it's in his Instagram bio, you know, it's a really cool thought. I love this because it feels like, you know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, like if Christ wasn't resurrected from the dead, this is all worthless. This is all just a steaming pile of mess. You know, it's just, he says your faith is futile. Basically, there's no point in it. None of this matters. Nothing matters.
Yeah.
And, I also feel like he just does it. He's so convinced of it. He's does such a great job of living that out. I mean, in saying this, like he's doubling down on it, just saying Christ came into the world to save sinners. He's like, praise the Lord that happened, because otherwise this is worthless. And I needed it more than anybody. And thankfully it happened because,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's like he's saying like, hey, this is the trustworthy saying. Like, I am an example. It's almost like Jesus is showing off. If he could save me, he can save anybody. I'm telling you. Because I was ludicrous.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
I love it.
It's good. That's a good word, brother.
It's so cool. Well, thankfully, the guy that you uninvited from listening to our podcast was knocked out of getting a national championship by the Huskies of the University of Connecticut. You've never uninvited somebody from the podcast before. It's very unlike you.
Yeah, I want to be a very inviting person, but
right.
It's hard to with
Because you don't like injustice.
I don't like injustice, and it was unjust.
You slipped into Maddie for a second.
I just don't.
Guys, thanks for listening. We love you. I am Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
Under his wings, I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am his child. Under his wings, under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. From sorrow, how the heart yearningly turns to his rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort and there I find rest. Under his wings, under his wings, who from his love can sever? His wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under his wings, oh, what precious enjoyment. There will I hide till life's trial. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under his wings, under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever, safely abide forever.